It is January the 7th. On the phone with me right now, I've got legendary Pro Street builder Wally Elder out of Dittmer, Missouri. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Well, Wally, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. As we discussed before, this is part of a project I'm working on about the old DuCoin Street Machine Nationals and the Pro Street movement in general, which obviously you were intimately involved with back in the day. This interview, I basically record it so that I don't have to furiously jot notes the whole way. But I may use snippets of it on the website because I think it's of interest to folks, especially as the show approaches. So just want to make sure that's cool. So don't say anything incriminating. We are talking about the Street Machine Nationals after all.
Right.
Well, usually I just start off asking folks, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this disease we call street machining.
Well, I grew up around cars pretty much my whole life. My dad was into them and had, you know, cars back in the 50s, and he actually had a 1936 Ford five-window coupe that was in hot rod back in 1958, and he still owns that car, and that's pretty much what got me into it. And we kind of built cars together through the years, and that's kind of what started it for me. And I just can't seem to put it away now.
Yep. But once it gets in your blood. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the car that kind of brought you the most notoriety, I think it's safe to say, is the Daytona. But as you shared with me, you had a few cars prior to that.
Right.
What how did you kind of get your start? Everybody kind of has a first car, but kind of walk me through your progression.
Well, I was always into the Mopars. You know, that was my first step into it. My first car was a '69 Dodge Charger when I was 16, and you know, I kind of, back then I didn't really know too much about what I was doing, but I learned on it, you know. And in that car, I painted it myself, and back in high school, and it was pretty neat, you know, for what it was. And that's kind of what got it started for me. No show car until probably the mid 80s. I had a Challenger that was pretty nice, and it made some magazines, it made Hot Rod and Car Craft and different things like that. So that's kind of what got it started for me.
Now, did that car get picked up for features at DuCoin, or did you take it to other shows, or how did you?
I had that car at quite a few different shows. I took it to the Mopar Nationals in Columbus, Ohio, and I believe it got filmed there for couple magazines, and then it also got filmed down in DuCoin for, I believe Hot Rod filmed it down there, and a couple other magazines. I don't know if you remember that magazine, Autobus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my car, that Challenger, it was purple with a bunch of wild stripes at the time, and that car was in the very first issue that they quit having topless girls in.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to read that magazine.
Yeah, it's the very first one that they, I guess they got in a lot of trouble for that, so they quit doing it.
Yep.
And then they had them in swimming suits from then on. So.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your recollections of the DuCoin show. Do you remember what year it was and kind of how old you were and just basically the...
Well, I was still, I guess I was either still in high school, or maybe it was the first year I graduated high school, which would have been in 82. And at that time, it was in Springfield, Illinois. That was my first time at the Street Machine Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much went every year after that. I had that Charger, that first car back then that I took up there. I didn't actually enter it, but, you know, cruising the streets there, and that was pretty neat back then. But then they moved it to, I believe after that it went to Gateway in St. Louis for a year, and then it went down to DuCoin.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took off. You know, it got got kind of out of hand as far as the street stuff goes. The show was always, you know, good and lots of cars in the show, but the nighttime life at, you know, the coin was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I went to my first show in '86 in DuCoin. I was 11, and that was a big year as far as Pro Street goes. The J2000, right. Matt and Debbie Hayes Sierra, and there was, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
But you know, I had just kind of attended some local shows until that point, and you know, as an 11-year-old kid, it just blew me away, the caliber of the cars at this show, and I was hooked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing, for sure. I hope it's like that again one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a very good chance of that. What are you up to these days?
We've all aged since then. I believe at least my generation of it has probably became less rowdy
yep.
as we were back then, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure the tradition will carry on with the new generation. And
yeah. Well,
it
was certainly one thing that I've noticed since I've dug through even police records and write-ups in the local newspapers. Most of the arrests and, you know, a lot of the trouble were people that didn't even have cars. They didn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
It was just an excuse
right.
to go party. And, you know,
right.
a guy with a $40,000 car isn't going to be out in the Walmart parking lot
exactly.
doing burnouts at, you know, 2
exactly.
in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, they were usually, if you've seen the really nice cars on the street, they were pretty tame. You know, they were just cruising through and not doing burnouts and things like that.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the Daytona. It's, I think it's probably safe to say, at least as deep as I've dug, it's probably the car that made the biggest splash. It's certainly recognizable, and you know, it was kind of on the tail end of the Pro Street,
right.
the big time Pro Street movement. But I mean, it was obviously on
right.
the cover of Car Crap.
Yeah, I believe at that time they were actually starting to kind of get more into the pro touring stuff was coming in. If I remember right, that was the early '90s. I built that car mainly in 1990, but I didn't actually get it finished in 90. I took it to the Mopar Nationals in August of 1990, but it wasn't finished at that time. And then the following winter, I completed the car and had it to DuCoin in June the following summer, so 1991. That's when it was there and did what it did, you know, at that time. So I didn't own it very long after I finished it. I showed it all through the summer of 91 and through the winter of 91-92, and I sold it in I believe it was probably May of 92 at the Monster Mopar event in St. Louis at Gateway. That's where I sold the car, and somebody from Arizona bought it, and I believe he was going to go racing with it, and that was pretty much the last I'd heard about it. But as far as the car itself, I basically started out with just a shell of a 6, actually I started with a 70 Charger body shell that I got from a friend of mine. I may have gave a couple hundred bucks for it, and I just kind of started building it from there. I originally was going to be putting a my dogs are barking. I was originally going to put a 440 with a blower on it that I kept out of the Challenger that I had, and I came across that Hemi, and that was obviously the way it was going to have to go. So I put the Hemi in it and kept the supercharger from that, and I bought an injection setup for it and started going that route. It just started, you know, escalating. You know how when you start building a car, it starts out as one thing, and by the time you actually build it, you went totally usually in a different direction than where you started.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened with that car. It was definitely an experience, for sure.
Right. Well, tell us what you're up to now. I know you had been looking for the car to get it back, but in lieu of that, it still seems to have disappeared. So if anybody listening to this knows where that gorgeous red Daytona Pro Streeter is, please contact Wally immediately. He'd like his car
definitely.
Back.
Definitely. Love to have it back.
But short of that, tell us what you got. Well, first of all, tell us what you're up to now, and then tell us what you've got in the works for the DuCoin show.
I've always as soon as I got out of high school, I got into the auto body field and pretty much went into business for myself not long after I graduated from high school, and I'm still doing the same thing, just different location, and I kind of got more out of the Chryslers. I got into Corvettes for a while, and I still am into those, and I don't know, I just kind of tinkered around with everything.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's one of the big three, Chevy, Chrysler, Ford, I'm okay with any of that. So,
and what's the name of your shop?
The name of the shop's Custom Auto Works, and it's in Denver, Missouri now. And I've been in business since 1988, and I've built quite a few different cars for myself. Like I said, I've owned a bunch of Corvettes over the years, and nothing of the caliber of the Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Until just recently, I started building a 1932 Ford three-window coupe. And that's pretty much what I'm building right now. This project started this past spring, and I'm going to try to have it done for DuCoin. I don't know that it will be of the same caliber as the Daytona, but I'm going to try to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, it's going to be a lot of bare bones race car kind of look.
Yeah.
More than I guess you call it Pro Street, where you had the plush interiors and stuff like that. This is going to have pretty much race car.
Yeah. It reminds me, in the pictures I've seen at least, of the Ride Tech, their Ford. I don't know if you've seen their auto. They do a lot of autocrossing with it, but Brett Vogel's 33 Ford. It's kind of the same.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of the same idea, taking an old car and making it handle and drive like a modern day, like a vet or something like that. Well, when I first started this project, I was leaning heavy on the family events folks, and I know a lot of other people were too, to get the show back. So one of my original questions was always, if they brought the show back, would you come? Well, thankfully, that's happening. So we'll get to meet one another this summer, and you'll get to see the show. But I guess I'll close with this one. And this may be difficult. If you go to enough of these shows, they start to run together. But DuCoin in particular, how would you describe it? Any particular memories of that particular show, any of the years you went, that really stood out in your mind about that particular venue and that particular event?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much. I mean, it was the perfect place to have an event like that. There was a lot of places. There wasn't enough shade or, there just wasn't enough room. And it was just a great place to have something like that, and it was huge. I mean, there was this, I remember you couldn't see everything. You just really couldn't get around to every car. If you took enough time to look at stuff, you wouldn't make it,
Yeah.
And it just seemed like every time you turned around, there was something new that you hadn't seen yet. I guess that's pretty much what I would say was the thing that stuck out in my mind the most, was the size of the event and the number of cars that were there and the number of high quality cars that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like every year it just got better and better as far as the car.
Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I'm going to turn this thing off here real quick.
Okay.